Mazzara and Parra project to Alimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alimora, Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Wednesday show, All-Star Game is over, and we are here to talk about that, plus the fantasy LVPs, the least valuable player at each position, according to me, Adam Azer. I got Scott White and Heath Cummings here. Fellas, which team will host Game 1 of the World Series?
I am going to say the Cleveland Indians will host Game 1 of the World Series, thanks to the American League's victory last night.
Heath?
I'll go ahead and say the same team that won the All-Star Game, the Kansas City Royals.
Wow.
You really believe that?
Well, I mean, you gotta beat the champs before they're not the champs anymore, right?
Come on, but you really believe that, though?
They've won the American League the last 2 years.
Do you really believe that, though? Really believe that?
That's my pick. I'm sticking to it.
Look, I can see it. It's not a terrible pick. How about the Rangers, the Astros, Blue Jays, Red Sox? It's tough this year. It's tough at the AL.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's one team that really stands out like we have in the NL. Well, really all of baseball in the Cubs.
The Cubs?
Yeah,
they don't even have the best record.
I don't care. They're still the best team by a lot.
They've been terrible lately.
It happens. 162 games. You're supposed to lose. Even the best teams lose 40% of their games. Sometimes they come in bunches.
But how about really the true. Giants? How about the Giants?
They're fine. I mean, look, you get to the playoffs and anything can happen, but If you give me every team against every other team 100 times, I am going to pick the Cubs, and pretty easily.
Yeah, the Nationals, by the way, have the second best run differential in baseball. They deserve some credit too. Which NL team has the best top two in their rotation of those three division leaders? Nationals, Cubs, Giants. Which
is the Cubs?
Oh, okay. So it doesn't have to be the Cubs.
What about the Giants? They got Cueto and Bumgarner.
Yeah, I think the Cubs are third.
It's really amazing.
Yeah, they're all
though.
Really good. You're right.
I mean, Lester's the worst pitcher of that group, right?
I don't think that's definitive.
Yeah, I don't think that's definitive either. They're all pretty good. I mean, it could make for a very, very awesome postseason. And the AL is wide open. Anyway, fantasy baseball. Welcome to the show, everybody. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We've got a lot of things to go through today. Want to talk about the Home Run Derby. We did not record a show on Tuesday. We had a Tuesday show. We recorded it on Monday. But, you know, is there a Home Run Derby jinx? Does it lead to second half struggles? Al Melchior wrote a great column on the website. You can go to cbssports.com/fantasy and read all about it. I have some research from the last 2 years, and we can talk about that. But I'm giving a fantasy LVP at every single position, and I want you guys to tell me what you expect from them in the second half. So we'll talk about Miguel Sano, Marcus Stroman, Jose Abreu, Chris Archer, Yasiel Puig, Gerrit Cole, etc.
You just named the whole team.
Yeah, that was a lot of it. But I see in a couple of leagues Trevor Rosenthal getting added in our 16-team league and in one of our roto leagues yesterday and overnight last night and this morning. Am I missing something here? Why are people adding Trevor Rosenthal?
I wondered the same thing. I guess it's just speculating over who could get saves, who's not getting them now. I mean, as long as he was the Cardinals' closer.
Yeah.
Convinces Mike Matheny he deserves another shot, but I don't know. His replacement's been dominant all season, so I don't know what it would take for him to lose the role he now seemingly has gained.
And Heath, I know that you picked up Alex Bregman, Astros infielder, in a couple of our leagues. Was that just a speculative stash, or is that news? Is there news coming?
Well, there's non-news.
Uh huh.
It's sort of news.
Jim Bowden said that the Astros could call up Bregman as soon as this weekend.
Ooh. Yeah, which kind of went without saying, I thought. But, you know, he's saying he has sources and whatever. I mean, maybe he'll get called up this weekend. Maybe he won't.
Now, interesting things. And we've decided we're going to have fun. Scott's in a very good mood. It's amazing. Scott's mood gets much better at 11 o'clock than it is at 9 o'clock in the morning. But Scott and I were having this discussion about this quotes report. And he said, well, I could have said they could call him up as soon as this weekend. And I said, well, I think it means more when Jim Bowden says it when you say it.
Probably.
And Scott just kind of shrugged. Like, I don't think Scott agrees with that.
Well, you know, if Ken Rosenthal says it, if John Heyman says it, I probably agree with you. I'm not sure Jim Bowden has quite the same clout.
No, I think there is a at least a small chasm, though, between Ken Rosenthal and Scott White. And he exists somewhere in that chasm. Yes.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay. So, Alex Bregman. So, is he shortstop eligible?
Bregman? Yes.
And
yeah, that's the only place he's eligible.
And if he comes up, you would expect him to play which position for Houston?
Probably third base.
Or maybe they move Gray to third.
Yeah, since you know, Bregman's been playing some third in the minors, that may be the long-term plan, Correa third and Bregman is short, but I think in the short term they'd go the reverse. But Luis Valbuena's been pretty good recently. Maybe he moves over to first and A.J. Reed gets sent back down, who, you know, Reed's done nothing except two home runs. Those are like his only hits since getting called up. So I don't know. It's not entirely clear how that would all play out, which is why I'm not entirely convinced he is coming up this weekend. But
well, if he does, how good do you think Alex Bregman would be?
I think his minor league numbers suggest a level of preparedness beyond any other hitter who's been called up this season. I mean, he's too good for the minors. Among the minor league leaders in home runs, more walks than strikeouts. And it's only gotten better since his promotion from AA to AAA. He's just
a man amongst boys. Scott.
Well, you know, I looked at how many fantasy leagues am I? I'm not even know, like a dozen or something. I looked in all of them for Bregman last night. He was available in two. Well, really only one because Heath picked him up in that other one. So just the podcast listeners league was the only one where was available, and he's not anymore. And I think that's the way it should stay. Bregman is clearly the minor leaguer to own right now.
Okay. Bregman it is. I have a trivia question for you guys. Now, this comes from Addison Russell, who is also on the LVP list. He's my starting shortstop. And I looked up Addison Russell, his recent fairly hot streak, which is about a month. Okay. It started in June 12th. That would be a month if there had been games the last few days. But in that stretch, get the exact numbers for you. Addison Russell, since June 12th, is batting .255, .360 on base, .521 slugging. Pretty darn good. 14 walks, 23 strikeouts, 7 home runs, and 4 doubles. That's in 28 games. So, good stuff from Russell. Believe it or not, that makes him the number 12 shortstop in points leagues and number 16 in Roto in that stretch. So, it's good. It's really not that good compared to the position. Now, more on him in a second, but here's the question. So again, that is since June 12th. One shortstop is of the top 17, only one is unowned in our Roto League that we're in, our Memorial Magazine Roto League, which has a middle infield spot, 6 or 7 bench spots, pretty deep, 30-man roster, deepish league, 12 teams. That guy is the number one shortstop in that stretch. Looking at our podcast points league, only two shortstops in the top 16 since June 12th are unowned. One of them is the same guy. The other is the number two shortstop. So basically the two best shortstops in the last month are unowned in the podcast listeners league, and the best shortstop is unowned in one of our Roto leagues. Can you guess who those guys are?
Brad Miller.
Incorrect.
Danny Espinosa.
Is one of the two unowned in our podcast listeners league. He's number
two. But he's not the number one.
Who's number one over the last month at shortstop?
Marcus Semien?
Nope.
No.
Did not make the All-Star team.
D.D. Gregorius.
D.D. Gregorius is your answer.
Should have guessed a Yankee. Always guess a Yankee.
Oh, please. You're the one who just picked the barely over 500 Royals to go to the World Series. But anyway, Heath, you want to weigh in on D.D. Gregorius? How about that? He's number one. For a month now.
Yeah, I'm not motivated to go pick him up either, so I guess I just feel like this is a hot streak that's not going to continue.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, I think that goes without saying, but Didi Gregorius, you look at his season numbers. He's batting 298 on about a 20 homer pace. And I have no interest in picking him up either because he's barely inside the top 20 shortstops with those numbers. It's just such a deep position all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we know he's not going to do what he's done the last month for long, but even if he can sustain the full season pace he's on, he's not good enough.
Yeah, now he is, if you are playing a 10-day week, I'm pretty sure the Yankees are home for their next 10 games. They have a big homestand coming up, and Gregorius has been much better at home, so it could just be one of those situations where you need a shortstop. Maybe this is the guy you go to. I'll check his home splits for you.
And he's got a 308 average, a 340 on base, and a 517 slug for the season at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, much better home numbers than road numbers. So, you know, that could be something. All right. Do we fear the home run derby? Do you guys put any stock into the theory that some people have that the home run derby could be bad for hitters in the second half? What do you guys think?
No concern at all. Not even on my radar. Wouldn't even consider it.
Well,
was that clear enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that there is zero effect, but like how are you going to pick out the player who's affected?
Well, you know? I think you can pick out Todd Frazier. 2 years in a row he's been at the home run derby. 2 years in a row he has had a dramatic decrease in OPS in the second half, you know. So last year I remember he was saying Cincinnati was hosting the All-Star game and he had just a lot going on. He was kind of like the Reds ambassador and it took a big toll on him. Hopefully the same thing doesn't happen here. You would think that if the home run derby screwed him up 2 years in a row, he would just say no at this point.
Because he knows it doesn't have anything to do with that.
All right, but listen, Heath, I know you're extremely dismissive of this, but
right.
We've all read quotes, and I don't know off the top of my head who has said it, but we've all read quotes in the past from players or coaches, managers, whatever, that said it does screw up people's swings sometimes. Like, this is an actual thing. No,
yeah,
it's not?
No. I don't believe in it at all. I think it's less believable than BVP for sure.
You don't think it's conceivable that trying to hit home runs, the one thing every hitter learns not to do in a real game scenario, try to hit home runs, trying to do that for as many swings as they do.
Yeah.
Could have an impact on their mechanics as frivolous as mechanics can be, or fickle,
I think
is a better word.
That there is maybe something to the fact that guys that get into the home run derby have generally had amazing first halves.
Yeah.
And so generally speaking, you can expect somebody that had an amazing first half to not be quite as good in the second half. Or maybe even like Jock Peterson fall off because they just weren't that good. But I don't think it has anything to do with being in the home run derby. I think these guys take thousands upon thousands of swings every month. And
not in this format, with the focus of hitting home runs.
I don't think that 60 or 70 swings one night with 2 days off in both afterwards is going to have. No, I don't. Maybe there was somebody that happened to. Maybe it's happened to 5 people in the last 10 years. I don't think that there's any way you can point out and say this guy was in the home run derby, so now he's going to be worse in the second half.
I agree you can't do that, but if somebody says, yeah, my swing's really messed up because I was in the home run derby, I'm inclined to take his word for it.
Okay.
Why are you so defiant on this, Heath?
Because it doesn't make any sense to me. These guys, sure, their swings get messed up by lots of different things. They go through slumps. They go through hot streaks. But, I mean, it's 75, 80 swings.
But it's in a strange format, a time format. It's just
that's been the case for 2 years now.
But look at last year. I mean, I'll count right now. One,
Jock
two.
Jock Peterson was another one.
Yeah.
Jock Peterson.
Wait, hold on. There were 8 participants last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them had a lower OPS in the second half, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them had an OPS at least 122 points lower. Todd Frazier, Albert Pujols, Jock Peterson, Prince Fielder, and Anthony Rizzo. Machado was a little bit down. Donaldson had a great second half, better than his first half, and Bryant had a slightly better OPS in the second half.
Again, I would think when a majority of the candidates are picked because of how well they've done in the first half, you're going to see a majority of the candidates be worse in the second half than they were in the
points.
First half.
100 points. 6 out of 8, or 5 out of 8, 100 points or more. 122 points or more on off their OPS in the second half.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. Whenever Heath talks about Major League Baseball, he seems to always revert to the pure statistical argument. Regression was coming. That's the only explanation for this.
I don't think it's the only explanation, but I think this is, go ahead.
But I know he knows a lot about mechanics and the things that go into making players put up the stats because he talks about it all the time with his son. Like, he probably knows more about that side of baseball than any one of us, and yet he never talks about it in the fantasy baseball context.
I don't think it's as relevant to a guy, maybe to somebody like Jock Peterson that had one half of a season in the major leagues, it is. I don't think for Giancarlo Stanton it probably is.
You know what? We probably won't know unless somebody comes out and says it. But I think Giancarlo Stanton owners probably did not want to see him hit, what did he hit, 51 home runs? Or
so we're not only is the home run derby bad, but having success in the home run derby is even worse.
Because you're taking more swings.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's possible. Look, all I'm saying is, as a Todd Frazier runner, I don't own Stanton, but as a Frazier runner, I was just like, dude, stop. I don't enter the home run derby. You know, like that guy, it does scare me a little bit.
I think too much can be made of it. And so I sound like I'm contributing to that with this discussion since, Heath is so adamantly on the other side.
How many in 2014 had an OPS 122 points lower in the second half?
Todd Frazier, Yasiel Puig, and that was it. Adam Jones was 85
almost
points
there.
Worse. Dozier was worse, but he only had 5 home runs after the All-Star break. His OPS wasn't that much worse, but he had a really bad second half.
So basically, by that same measurement we used for 2015, 2 out of 8. So over the 2-year sample size, it's 7 out of 16.
Actually, it was 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10, so 7 out of 18.
Right. Hmm. So, which is still a pretty big number, but because that's a lot of points off your OPS. Look, I'm not trading Todd Frazier because I think he's going to struggle. Maybe we'll never find out, but I do think I just don't think you can completely dismiss it when it's been said in the past that home run derbies screw up player swings. Not everybody, but it does happen.
Lots of things have been said. Like what?
But they're true. I mean, they're true. If a player comes out and says it, then how do you not give credence to that?
If one player comes out and says my swing got messed up by the home run derby, then I will believe that player's swing got messed up by the home run derby.
Why do you think so many people don't participate in the home run derby?
I think part of it's because they don't want to get embarrassed.
Oh man. All right. Well, okay. We'll move on now. Agree to disagree. The AL wins 4-2. I don't know how this game stayed under the 7.5 total. It seemed like a cinch to go over. Eric Hosmer won the MVP. Royals fans celebrated and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if their radio guy did the, broadcast or anything, Heath, but.
Don't do this right now. You've almost pushed me too far.
What I have learned is that if Scott White is in a better mood at 11 a.m. instead of 9 a.m., Heath Cummings is apparently in a worse mood later
on. A good mood. I'm not frustrated at all unless we're going to talk bad about Denny Matthews again.
He's just the worst. But why do people, by the way, we are recording the show a little bit later than usual in case you couldn't tell. Why do people hate Joe Buck so much? That is my All-Star game takeaway. I really like Joe Buck. I think he's tremendous.
I agree. I don't know. I have no idea. This is one of the many things that baffles me.
I think the main thing that I've heard is that people feel like when they turn on a game that Joe Buck is broadcasting, they feel like Joe Buck thinks they turned the game on to hear him. Well, they turned the game on to watch a baseball game and he's just the one that's telling us about it.
Well, but why do they feel that way?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I guess that's just a vibe that he gives out to a majority of the population.
I don't know about a majority.
I feel like it's one of those things that, okay, yeah, there was a large segment of the population, as with any public figure, who disliked Joe Buck. but then it kind of snowballed on social media because they talked about it so much every time, every time they were watching him. And so other people just hopped in. This is the trendy thing to do. Hate on Joe Buck. I feel like that's how most of these things go.
Scott, you and I are just best friends today. I love it, man. I love it.
I'm enjoying it.
All right. So we'll do some fantasy now. News and notes for you. CJ Crone out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken hand. Kevin Kiermaier began a rehab assignment. Would you be interested in Kevin Kiermaier in anything other than an American League only league or a really deep league, mixed league?
Maybe really deep roto.
Yeah.
Okay. Tyler Flowers, Atlanta's catcher, out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken hand. Is there anything to say about this?
I was on the verge of thinking he might be two catcher league relevant because his numbers aren't half bad and he started to play more than Pierzynski, but that's out the window now.
One of the most qualified statements you've ever made.
Yeah. Thank you.
On the verge of thinking he might be halfway relevant.
We like to go out on limbs. Fantasy baseball today. MLB teams are homering as much as they were in 2000, basically the height of the steroids era. And we heard or we saw the quotes from Rob Manfred talking about, no, the baseballs are not juiced. Hopefully the players are not juiced, but the home run is absolutely back. And I think it's probably going to have to make us reevaluate stats now, like a 25 homer
totally.
Season.
Yeah, it's already started. Corey Kluber's ERA may be better than you think, Adam.
Nah, Kluber, I love Kluber. He's great. He got the win last night.
Yeah, he did.
Good for him.
I don't understand at all. Like he gets the win because the American League scored while he was the pitcher of record.
I don't
understand how they determine that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me check because it could be up to the official score.
Well, it is a lot of times when the starter doesn't make it five innings, which obviously they don't in the All-Star game,
right?
But I don't know in this instance how it was determined. I saw that and was there any American League pitcher that pitched more than one inning?
Well, I don't think they hold to the five inning rule in the All-Star game.
No, not at all. But
oh, right, no, that's exactly why he was pitching when they took the lead and kept the lead. And that's why he got the win. He pitched a second inning. They scored 3 runs in the bottom half.
It's all about timing.
Yeah. They were the home team last night, the American League.
Yeah, because we're like going on a streak of 4 straight years or something in National League parks, right?
Right. They keep trying to give it to the NL. It's not happening.
Give the game to the NL?
Yeah.
MLB, they renamed the batting title awards for Rod Carew in the American League and Tony Gwynn in the National League. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. is our email address. We have a few emails to read here. Robin in Vegas says, my friend and fantasy league competitor have a dinner bet. Who will have a better second half, Bud Norris or Jake Odorizzi? Whip, ERA, strikeouts, and wins. Who will have a better second half, Bud Norris or Jake Odorizzi? Your thoughts.
Well, since half the categories are percentages, it could go either way. I think Odorizzi is going to have wins and strikeouts in the bag because Bud Norris isn't going to be in the rotation for the entire second half.
What, you don't think there's any chance of that?
Well, there's a chance, but I think it's pretty unlikely. As many pitchers as the Dodgers have coming back from injury, and we haven't seen Jose De Leon yet. I think we will. As many innings as he has left in the tank since he was injured for most of the first half.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Norris is not that good.
Yeah, Norris is not good at all. I would definitely say Odorizzi. I was thinking the one category Norris might have a chance to win was wins. And if he can't stay in the rotation, can't win that one, he's got no chance.
Robin in Vegas, man. They'll bet on anything in Vegas, huh?
Yes.
Owen in Chester, Virginia says, Cal, and Billy. Those are Orioles.
Ripken,
yeah. Can you discuss Dylan Bundy and his chances of getting a shot in the Orioles rotation? Dylan Bundy, guys.
Well, last I heard, he wasn't going to, just flatly, not going to get a chance in the rotation this season. I know he has a lot of like 3-inning appearances, so they could always have a change of heart and wouldn't have to really stretch him out. But I would bet against that happening.
Okay.
This year.
Yeah. Heath, sorry.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way.
And finally, we have an email from CJ in Montreal. Hello, Fantasy Billy, Lou, and Mac. Billy, Lou, and Mac. I know this one.
Those are base stealers?
That would be Little Big League.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wondering what your thoughts are on Steven Wright and Rick Porcello. Is now the time to sell one or both in case they come back to earth in the second half? Now, we talked about Steven Wright, but what do you guys think about Rick Porcello? Do you think you would be looking to trade Rick Porcello right now?
Yeah, I mean, what can you get for Rick Porcello?
I think it would probably depend on, because of his win-loss record, he shows up high in the points, you know, production in terms of how many fantasy points he scored right this year. He's higher than we rank him on a subjective level. So if you're with a bunch of owners who cater or who really go for that, then you could probably get someone who's underachieving in win-loss record. Like maybe you could get Jose Quintana for him. That's a trade I'd do. Maybe somebody even better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Quintana's going to be better. I would still bet on Porcello winning more games than Quintana in the second half. Like, I don't like using wins and losses as a way to evaluate pitchers at all. But since it is one of the categories, like, Porcello's going to pitch for a considerably better team. And I might try to combine Wright and Porcello and see if you can get, like, a top 30 guy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well,
okay.
I don't know. That's giving up a lot just for top 30. I think I'd want it to be
top
20.
Yeah, I mean, if you think that Steven Wright's going to be top 40 in the second half, it is.
Yeah, I think he'll be right there.
And you don't, Heath?
I think it's really borderline. I'd be more likely to put him in the 40 to 50 range than the 30 to 40 range.
Okay. Well, we'll find out what happens in the second half. And guess what? We're only a couple of days away until we can play some FanDuel Daily Fantasy Baseball again. That's exciting. FanDuel.com offers you a different way to play fantasy baseball, and it can be really exciting. It's like your entire fantasy week comes down to one night, and that's every single night on FanDuel. Contests start at just $1. You can win some money. Our listeners win money on FanDuel. I get emails and tweets saying, hey, I just won hundreds of dollars on FanDuel. Sometimes it's thousands of dollars. So go to FanDuel.com and start playing right now. Got a special offer if you're a new user. Enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. To get that offer, go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code. It's HOMERUN. The promo code is HOMERUN with no spaces. It's just one word, HOMERUN, on FanDuel.com. Now, the fantasy LVPs, we're not going to spend as much time on this as we did the MVPs, but I picked guys that I didn't think we talked about too much. So Nick Hundley is my catcher, and he's 33% owned. And last year, Hundley was the number 13 catcher in points leagues, number 7 in Roto. And before going on the DL in May with an oblique injury, he was hitting .273 with a .407 on base and a .523 slugging, only 2 home runs in 44 at bats. But yeah, I mean, as bad as catcher's been, Nick Hundley, he's you know, been injured and been bad. Is this a guy that could actually help fantasy owners in the second half?
I think so. His playing time has been kind of sporadic since he returned from the DL, but the backup, Tony Walters, he's nothing. The prospect who was supposed to threaten Hundley's playing time at the start of the year, Tom Murphy, he's been horrible in the minors. So there's no threats to that playing time. I expect it to pick up. The percentages actually for Hundley are still decent, 804 OPS on the year, and obviously the Coors effect. Yeah. I would expect he's a top 15 catcher rest away.
And you know what? The Coors effect. He has not hit homered. He has not homered yet at Coors Field. He's batting. He's got a 926 OPS on the road and a 684 OPS at home. You got to figure that home OPS is going to come way up for Nick Hundley.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't like penalizing Nick Hundley for getting hurt. I don't think he was bad enough to be the LVP at catcher or drafted high enough.
Well,
I think
look,
he's going to be fine in the second half.
Who,
I like him.
Who would your... That's good to know. Who would your LVP be?
Let's think of somebody that was drafted higher and was much worse for a prolonged period of time.
Russell
Maybe Russell
Martin.
Martin?
Russell Martin, yeah.
I think Russell Martin.
I was really looking... Because you can nitpick probably every selection I make, but I was really looking for guys that we don't talk about as much.
Okay, I won't nitpick every single selection.
It's valid that Hundley wasn't that bad. He did have a bad June, though, after he came off the DL. But all right, first base, Heath, Jose Abreu. I think this one is actually fairly obvious. He's the number 25 first baseman in points, number 26 in Roto. What do you think about Abreu, who has 16 games without a home run, 15 games without a home run?
I still think he's going to have a hot streak at some point that makes up a lot of ground. The bit of research I did a month ago, really before he had his hottest stretch of the season so far, suggested that what was holding him back, the only thing holding him back, was a lack of home runs. Like, he was on the same singles pace as last year, in terms of strikeout, walk rate, hard hit rate, everything looked normal. He just didn't have as many home runs as he's supposed to have. And home runs come in bunches. And that goes without saying, I think, at this point. And one of those bunches is going to bring a lot of correction here soon.
He's a really, for me, borderline top 12 first baseman for the rest of the season. And part of that's just because of all the guys that have become eligible at first base. Maybe you aren't playing those guys at first, and so then he's a definite starter. But I've got him 12th right now, and I actually have Matt Carpenter behind him just because I'm worried about his injury. If he was 100% healthy, then I wouldn't have a Abreu in my top 12. But again, part of that's just a testament to the Mark Trumbos, the Will Myers, the fact that Chris Bryant's first base eligible.
Well, I would, by the way, to further what Scott said, Abreu's walk to strikeout ratio, ground ball to fly ball ratio, nearly identical this year compared to last year. Line drive percentage down from 28% to 25%. It's not really a big drop.
So yeah, still high.
Yeah, it is just the home runs. But I would tell you, I would still rather have Jose Abreu than Eric Hosmer. And I see that you guys both have them very close in the rankings. So who would you rather have, Jose Abreu or Eric Hosmer, second half?
Well, you tell me. Who do I have higher?
In Roto, you have Abreu 11th and Hosmer 13th with Carpenter right in the middle. And Heath, you have Hosmer 11 and Abreu 12.
Yeah. I think it's kind of flipping a coin. I think they're pretty similar, but if I had to choose, I'd take Hosmer.
Okay. Second base, Heath, it's D. Gordon, who, even before the PEDs, .266 batting average, way down, 6 steals in 21 games. He stole 58
6 steals in 21 games, that's good.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm actually trying to figure out, what would the pace be there?
48.
48. Okay, so that's down from 58 last year. What do you expect from D. Gordon, Heath, going forward when he comes back later this month?
That was really bad math. It was actually 36, I think.
Oh, okay.
No, it's more than that.
Yeah, I was right the first time. Okay, I think he's probably going to be he should be a top 10 second baseman once he gets back. Okay. In Roto, for sure, just because of the steals that he's going to give you. And really, you look at the way this Marlins offense has exploded without D. Gordon, I would expect he's going to score a lot of runs in the second half.
Okay, two concerns I want to bring up with Gordon. One, does he get as much playing time as he did before the suspension because Dietrich has been good? And two, does he play worse because he's not taking performance-enhancing drugs anymore?
I am not worried about either of those. I do feel like we talked about this on a podcast recently, but maybe not everyone listened to it. Like the Marlins have long made excuses not to play Derek Dietrich, and if they really wanted to play him, they're more likely to sub Prado out at third base than one of their most expensive hitters, a guy who they just gave a big contract to in the offseason, D. Gordon. And the other is that, I mean, for as much as we make about PEDs affecting player performance, players who've been suspended for PEDs, the list of them who have come back substantively worse is pretty small. I think we kind of brainstormed at the time, and the only two examples we could come up were Everth Cabrera and Melky Cabrera. But Melky Cabrera's turned out to be, he had a tumor on his spinal cord the year when he came back and was doing so poorly. So that probably had something to do with it.
And, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think D. Gordon will be fine.
Third base, Miguel Sano, .243 batting average, 14 home runs in 60 games with 85 strikeouts to 36 walks. But since coming off the DL on July 1st, very small sample size, Sano, the whole Twins team is hitting great. .282 with 3 home runs for Sano and 7 walks, 14 strikeouts, and a double. What do you guys think overall about Miguel Sano this year?
This is one I would definitely nitpick. He's got a 42% hard contact rate. He's got an 820 something OPS. He's on a 30 home run pace. I mean, he's not going to hit 30 home runs this year because he missed time and he's only played 60 games, but 14 home runs in 60 games is not bad. He's striking out 33% of the time, but that really shouldn't surprise anybody. He struck out 35% of the time last year. He struck out quite a bit in the minors. I expect Miguel Sano to be what we expected in the second half, and that is a guy that hits around 250 or 260 with an 840-ish OPS.
Okay, so let's get another nominee then. Who's your LVP?
Well, he's. I actually didn't think this was a bad choice until, you know, he's making me take a closer look. Yeah,
it's the batting average. Pretty good. Batting average has been terrible for him. He's batting 240.
It's right.
And I think it's probably, I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be much better than 250 or 260.
The LVP at third base, I would have said Michael Franco, but he's been on such a tear since returning. How about,
it's tough. Third base has been really pretty good.
Yeah. It has. Anthony Rendon.
Matt Duffy.
Matt Duffy's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have much hope for Matt Duffy rebounding. It seemed kind of suspicious what he did last year. So, I mean, I don't even know how long he's out. I haven't had reason to care because third base has been so easy to fill.
Okay.
I'm going with Matt Duffy.
Yeah.
Duffy's a good one. Let's go to shortstop. Addison Russell is my LVP. He's only 22 years old. He's got 11 home runs. I think he had 12 last year. He's almost at his pace, whatever it was, almost at his total. And, you know, hot lately, like I said, but still top 12, so 12th over the last 28 games in points and 16th in Roto, despite his 7 home runs and his 521 slugging. Does not steal bases. Yeah, I don't know. Last week we talked about him, and I picked him up just in case Addison Russell goes off. Also, I think it's funny that one of my LVPs just started the All-Star game last night.
But, the least deserving All-Star.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Him and Hosmer. But yeah, I don't know. Your thoughts on Addison Russell? Any hope that he has a huge second half?
I think you always have to have that. Like, for at least the next 2 or 3 years, there's always going to be that hope that suddenly he goes off. I mean, as high end of a prospect as he was right up there with Francisco Lindor, Corey Seager, Carlos Correa. And he has at least shown a pretty good batting eye so far in the majors, and not bad power for a shortstop.
We have to change that statement now. Not bad power for what we thought was good for a shortstop.
Exactly. and I think, I don't even think that's going to be a long term. I'm not confident that next year we're going to say shortstop is deep too. I feel like there's going to be a lot of factors working against that.
Yeah, I mean, Machado's already earned shortstop eligibility for next year.
Right.
He's going to be just as good. Correa, right. Bogart, Seager, Lindor, those guys aren't going anywhere.
Right, but I feel like...
Maybe the VRs and the Seguras and the Stories.
I don't even want to single out a guy who I think is going to drop off. I just feel like there's been such a rash of shortstop prospects, unusually high, that while other positions are being replenished from minor, whoever happens to drop out of the top tier at another position gets replaced. That's not going to happen as quickly as shortstop. So just, you know, the attrition effect of playing baseball is going to make shortstop not a deep position forever. But getting back to Russell, one, I don't really consider him an LVP because you knew you were just praying for rain by drafting him. And two, I'm still praying for rain.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
that works for me.
Yeah, he's a guy. I mean, he's basically, maybe this isn't fair, but he's basically a stash player. Like, it's not that much different than having Bregman on your bench and hoping he comes up and hits well. You've got Russell on your bench and you hope that he turns into the player that we thought he might be.
There were a lot of candidates at outfield for your first half LVP. I went with McCutchen, Yasiel Puig, and Corey Dickerson. Was nice to see McCutchen have a good weekend before the All-Star break, but hopefully that's not just fool's gold. He went 6 for 12 with 2 home runs. And I think what's really concerning with McCutchen, he's not walking Last year, he had a career high 14.3% walk rate. The year before that, it was around 13. This year, 8.9% walking for Andrew McCutchen. So that sucks. Yasiel Puig, he's been kind of hot over his last 11 games. He's drawing a lot of walks, but very little extra base power. And Corey Dickerson, maybe he's coming out of it. 360 batting average over his last 15 games with five doubles, but only one home run. Are you optimistic about all three of these guys in the second half, McCutchen, Puig, and Dickerson?
To different extents, I would say yes. I think that I would expect all three of them, or at least two of them. I'm not sure if Dickerson... I think Puig and McCutchen are going to be better than they were in the first half, if not what they were in last year. I might replace Dickerson on the list with Michael Conforto.
That's fair.
As far as an LVP goes. But I kind of think Dickerson is, this is what we should expect to get from him.
Well, not to nitpick your phrasing. And by the way, I'm not terribly optimistic of Dickerson either, but.
So you're going to nitpick my phrasing.
Well, here's the thing. If Puig, because you were saying maybe McCutchen and Puig can get back to what they were last year. For Puig, would that be such a good thing? We'd still be disappointed, right? If he was only as good as he was last year.
Yeah, I mean...
Yes. And that's kind of the problem. Yeah. This is a long-standing issue now for Puig.
This is the worst year of his career.
The only one I have hope for to the extent that I'd be looking to buy low on him is Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind picking up and stashing Corey Dickerson because he's only 58% owned. You know, things have gotten better lately. It's amazing that he's been this bad. It really is.
I bought low on him in a 24-team league where, you know, obviously a league so deep that nobody would ever think about dropping him, even as bad as he's been. And that would probably be the only scenario where I retain some hope for Dickerson. I don't think it's beneficial to be hopeful in Dickerson in any other format because he's fallen so far.
Yeah, I own him in one of our five outfielder roto leagues, and I know how mad I'm going to be at myself if he goes off and I dropped him. So
you're not starting him though.
No, I'm not starting him.
I think the more likely scenario with him on your bench is I feel pretty confident he's going to go off one or two different weeks over the rest of the season. But I think the more likely situation, he goes off on your bench, you start him, and then he's bad again.
Yeah.
And then he goes off on your bench, and then you start him, and then he's bad again.
I just wouldn't rule out Dickerson having a good second half.
It'll probably take more than that one good week for you to be convinced to start him again.
It would have to be a lot of righties on the schedule, first of all. That's the first thing you have to look at if you're a Dickerson owner, because he's liable to sit against lefties. All right, Puig, or rather McCutchen. I want to do some rankings here. McCutchen or Justin Upton, who would you rather have?
McCutchen. He's still in my top 10.
McCutchen so, or...
Probably going to pick him a lot.
McCutchen or Cespedes with this little injury Cespedes has.
All right, well, that's closer, but yeah, I'll say McCutchen as Heath did while I was talking over. Oh, and I lied. He's not in my top 10. He's 12th.
Okay. And McCutchen
and
or Polanco?
He's behind Cespedes.
He's behind Cespedes?
Yeah.
McCutchen or Polanco?
McCutchen.
Heath? McCutchen?
Yep.
All right. The pitchers that I nominated, and again, a lot of candidates, Drew Smyly, Marcus Stroman, Garrett Cole. Well, he hasn't been nearly as bad as the other guys necessarily, but he has been a little disappointing and injured, and Chris Archer. Smyly, Stroman, Cole, and Archer. Your overall thoughts on those four?
I think Stroman has been a little bit unlucky, but about what I think he's kind of a luck-dependent pitcher. So I would expect him to be a little bit better in the second half, but I don't think he's going to be as good as the people that were most optimistic on him heading into this season thought that he would be.
If you saw him dropped in a league, because you've always been the lowest on Stroman, if you saw him dropped, would you pick him up?
I think the easy answer is to say yes, but if I had a really good pitching staff, I mean, I could see a situation where I didn't.
Who has a really good pitching staff? Who feels like couldn't use another pitcher?
There are a lot of pitchers out there in the world that will strike out 6.4 batters per nine.
Yeah, but he's pitching for the Blue Jays, first of all.
Yeah.
He has extreme ground ball tendency, so he can get away with a lower strikeout rate.
6.4 is awful.
He hasn't always been that bad, though.
It was 6. Okay. It was 7.6. He's at 6.9 for his career. I'm probably picking him up, yes. But I don't know how often I'm going to start him.
I have more hope for Stroman than that, but he is the one of these five who I have. No, four. I take that back. Garrett Cole. I know he wasn't that great before the injury, but I really have no concerns about Garrett
Agreed.
Cole. But I don't really, I'm not holding out hope for better for Archer or Smiley. I think probably they have more upside than Stroman because of the strikeouts. And Archer, I mean, his stuff is so, so out of this world impressive that, I mean, if he does just start throwing strikes more consistently, I'll change my tune quickly. But there's been no signs of a turnaround for him this whole season. And, you know, Roto leagues, obviously, he's still worth owning just for the strikeouts, but I'm not hoping for a lot more.
You wouldn't drop him in a points league, though.
I wouldn't drop him, no.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like even with the high ERA, he's been good enough to own.
Right. I'd much rather have him than Stroman.
Archer's got a 9.95 ERA in the first inning. I wonder if that's correctable, you know? But let's talk about a guy who I think has been unlucky this year as well. You talked about Stroman maybe being a little unlucky. Well, I think Hector Rondon, my relief pitcher LVP, has been unlucky this year. He only has 14 saves and 18 chances with a 1.72 ERA and a 0.67 whip and an amazing ratio, 4 walks, 42 strikeouts.
So why is he the LVP?
Because he wanted to talk about
how unlucky he's been.
I mean, the real MVP is Trevor Rosenthal. But
LVP, yeah.
I mean, how often have we talked about him? Earlier this podcast, for one.
Right, and in points leagues, Hector Rondon is the number 23 relief pitcher, not including the Sparps. So not including Roark and Sanchez and Junior Guerra and Velasquez and all that. So he's barely top 24 without those starting pitchers. In Roto League, he's doing a lot better because of the elite whip and the ERA. He's number 13 relief pitcher in Roto. But, all right, the only thing I can say is we know what the problem's been for him, right? Chicago with a plus 139 run differential. Washington is second with a plus 105 run differential. So I went back 10 years, and three teams that had a run differential at the end of the year of plus 210 or better, or plus 200 or better. The Blue Jays last year, they only got 34 saves as a team. The Yankees in 2011, they got 47, with Rivera getting 44 of them. And the Red Sox in 2007, they got 45, with Papelbon getting 37 of them. And I can't believe Rondon is going to get 28 saves this year. I just feel like he'll do better in the second half.
Oh, yeah. I will take the over on 30.
I think the one pitfall on him being a potential buy low is that the Cubs, they're going to buy anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be bullpen.
And, you're right.
You know, they've been linked to Andrew Miller. I could see Rondon just getting bumped from the closer role.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I don't know why I didn't think about that. Absolutely. Well, that's our LVP team. Good job.
Good job, Adam. You put a really nice team together.
Thanks.
Or I guess a crappy team.
a lot of buy lows on that team. You would be near the bottom of the standings with that team right now, but I'd like you for a strong finish.
All right, but let's see how you would have felt about this team coming out of your draft, okay?
Okay.
Nick Hundley as your catcher.
Yeah.
Jose Abreu, D. Gordon, Miguel Sano, and Addison Russell in your infield.
I would have been kicking myself for drafting Addison Russell, but other than that, I'd have felt good about the infield.
McCutchen, Puig, and Dickerson in your outfield.
Well, you got your first rounder in McCutchen to go with your second rounder in Abreu. D. Gordon in the third round was a nice value.
Yeah,
I think I'd still be feeling good.
And then you went Garrett Cole and Chris Archer, or Archer Ooh. And Cole with your next two picks.
Yeah, 4 and 5. Makes sense.
All right, we don't really have a sixth round pick here unless you reach for Puig or Miguel Sano.
I did that in a couple times, so yeah.
A little bit of a reach, but not much.
All right, so let's say Sano in the sixth and Puig in the seventh. And then Stroman in the eighth.
Yeah.
Dickerson in the 9th, Russell in the 10th, and Smiley in the 11th, and Rondon in the 12th.
That's about right. That's about how drafts were unfolding.
And Hundley in the 13th.
Well, that messes it up, but we don't know what the bench of the LVP team looks like.
I think I missed one because I think I have 14 guys here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. No, I have 13. Okay. Not a terrible draft. Probably reached a little bit for a couple guys, but you didn't deserve this bad of a team. Some more emails. Brad in New York City. Austin Hedges is destroying the minor leagues. Judging what from past hitters have done in the PCL and what he's doing in the PCL, is it possible to estimate Austin Hedges' value as a starting catcher in San Diego?
I think he's somebody to watch for in the second half because he was a prospect whose glove was well ahead of his bat, and I think that caused the Padres to rush him last year. So obviously, we don't have fond memories of him during his time at Fantasy, but same could be said for Anthony Rizzo for his stint up with the Padres before the Cubs acquired him. And not to say Hedges is going to be that good, but you look back at old scouting reports of him, and he was projected to develop power at some point. May have finally happened.
Anytime you get a catcher prospect, we get excited because the position's so bad. So, yeah, I think you get excited.
Would you eat at a restaurant called Fondue Memories?
I don't know.
Doesn't sound like my kind of place, really.
Have you been to a fondue place?
Yeah.
I'm guessing they don't have, like, beef.
Yeah, of course they do.
Do they?
They do?
At the melting pot,
I've only been
do.
Once. The melting pot does?
Yeah, they have an assorted meat dinner that you cook yourself, obviously.
That you cook yourself?
Well, it just kind of sits there and you know,
you dip it in the pot.
Yeah.
The boiling fondue pot.
This doesn't sound like my kind of place.
Well, I like it's the fun. Dessert fondue better, dipping all sorts of like fruits and carbohydrates and chocolate.
I don't really eat dessert.
I know.
I got to tell you, I don't eat dessert that often either, but melting pot dessert is one of the best desserts I've ever had. Honestly, it's so good.
It is good.
I can kind of relate to that because I do generally drink dessert, but it's not fondue.
All right, email from Baxter here. I just got an offer of D. Gordon for Yu Darvish and Alex Bregman. I am in need of steals, but I wanted to see what y'all think about Bregman's second half potential. So would you give up Darvish and Bregman for D. Gordon?
I just want to point out, in case Baxter was bristling at this, you added the y'all. He put you all. And you said y'all. You, Adam, Mr. New Yorker, said y'all.
I did?
Yes. It says you all. I'm looking at the text right now.
And I said y'all?
Yes. Mm. Did he not?
How about that?
I wasn't worth the necklace of attention.
Well, gosh darn it.
Well, would you do that trade? Give up Darvish and Bregman for D. Gordon?
Probably not. But I'm higher on Darvish, I think, than a lot of people are. So
No, there's no way. I don't know that I'd give up Darvish for Gordon straight up unless I really needed steals. So throw Bregman in. Not a chance.
Okay.
Not a chance.
Here's Andrew in a 12-team head-to-head league with saves and holds. It's two separate categories. So he's got a bunch of relievers here. He wants to know who he should drop. Trevor Rosenthal or Mark Melancon, no. Brad Ziegler, Tyler Clippard, Luke Gregerson, Ryan Dull, or Trevor Rosenthal, as mentioned. Melancon, Ziegler, Clippard, Gregerson, Dull, Rosenthal. Who's
the most
droppable?
Or Ziegler.
I'd drop Gregerson, actually. I mean, either one of those three would probably be fine.
No.
But I think Gregerson has the least chance of...
Nah, really?
Yeah.
But if you're... saves and holds are two separate categories. I think Gregerson will get more holds than Rosenthal.
Rosenthal has been so bad, and Gregerson's been pitching great since being moved to the eighth inning, and Will Harris really hasn't been lately.
I had a clutch strikeout yesterday.
He did. I fell asleep.
Biggest pitcher batter at bat was the only one he faced, and he came through.
Yeah, the biggest at bat of the game was Will Harris against Aledmys Diaz.
Aledmys Diaz, yeah.
Yeah.
Struck him out looking. Anyway, I overlooked the holds part. So you can drop Rosenthal.
Okay. Next question is from Jason in Corona. Dear Connie, Bucky, and Gene.
Those sound like managers, Yankees managers?
Well, they are managers. They are, according to Jason, they are the three losingest managers of all time. Most losses. Connie okay. Mack, Bucky Harris, Gene Mock. So, here's the question. Jason has Scherzer and Strasburg. He wants an upgrade from his number three starting pitcher, Jason Hamill. I traded Hamill and Wilson Ramos for Cole Hamels and Brian McCann. I could not click accept fast enough. Giving up Jason Hamill and Ramos for Cole Hamels and Brian McCann. The reaction from my contemporaries has been mixed. Am I missing something? Didn't I significantly upgrade my number three pitcher while not losing so much at catcher?
I feel that way, yes. I don't think there's a huge difference between Ramos and McCann, and I do think there's a very big difference between Hamill and Hamels. Even though their names are much closer, their production is much different.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a pretty big gap between Ramos and McCann myself, but at the same time, if nothing else, it's a dead even trade.
Okay. That's going to do it for today's show, the LVP show. I want to do another podcast tomorrow if I can rope you guys into it. I want to draft the top 24.
Be a Let's short do show. It.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I like the way he says, I want to do another podcast, so that everybody knows if for some reason we don't do another podcast, it was our fault.
Very subtle.
Would he be wrong about that?
He's the podcast king.
He is the podcast king.
All I'm the king of, you know. I can't control your schedule.
That's true.
Okay, so we'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll do our top 24, read some emails. Adios.
Bye.
See ya. Machado or Bono or no.